From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment.
Shake it, don't break it.
Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell. In the explosive new adaptation of the novel Cherry, which is now a new film by the Russo brothers, we get a chance to see the impact that one of its talented stars makes, who's done quite a few interesting things lately. And I think as an actor, what's so interesting about Sarah Bravo is that she is able to take the way people regard her and turn that into performance. If we look at To the Bone with A Long, Long Dumb Road or Cherry, you can see she understands the way people look at her characters and is able to use that as an actor. So first of all, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I think that's one of the most thoughtful comments I've ever received.
I think one of the things that's really interesting to me about you as an actor is that you have an understanding of the way people pay attention to the characters you play and how they deal with that kind of regard. I mean, because I just think about how Tracy in To the Bone was just trying to disappear in front of people.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think that's an important part to playing any character, because I think that's almost how I, for a while, not so much anymore, but operated in my own world to an extent. I think being in this business, it's like, okay, how do people perceive me, and how does that make me want to operate? How can I use that to my the best of my abilities? Maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not sure.
I was wondering where that came from. That was something just growing up, the way you observe people and the way they kind of moved in terms of the way people looked at them and reacted to them, or if that's from some training for you, because it feels like as much a kind of an instinctive thing as anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I would certainly consider, of course, I've worked in countless acting classes. I have a coach who I adore, but I do work off of instinct quite a lot. I think you were onto something there. It's not something that I was ever taught, but it is something that I enjoy doing, is observing people, noticing how friends act in different situations, notice how I act in different situations, and then getting the opportunity to break down a character and decide how they would act in different situations, I think helps me embody them better.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Cherry here and Emily, and just, she has an understanding of the way she's looked at, doesn't she? When we meet her, that character in the book is very different from the way we meet her in the film. And I want you to talk about a little bit what you thought she was, and how you sort of took that idea that she understands the way she basically enters a space, which is very different from the way she's treated in the book.
The character of Emily in the book is almost a completely different person than the version of Emily that we meet in the movie. I didn't want to get confused between these two versions of Emily, so I tried to stay away from, you know, the version of her that I knew from the book, aside from, like, character traits that were mentioned, like the way that she moves her jaw, which I don't know if you ended up seeing much of in the movie, but holding her jaw to the side, or, you know, takes like that, things that can help me in the moment, but God knows if they ever make the cut. The writing in the script was incredible. I mean, Angela and Jessica just truly did an extraordinary job. So there was plenty to go off of there. You know, I wish I had like a better answer or like something interesting to say in these moments, but it was like, I sat down and I read the scene and I was like, okay, based on the character work that I've done and like building her as a human being and thinking about her background as a person, this is how I think she would act in this situation. And then I go on set and I do it on the day. And if it felt wrong, I'd change it. And if it felt right, then thank God it felt right.
It's interesting, too, because it feels like this is the first time you played a character with real confidence in her own voice and her own kind of physical aspect as compared to some of the other people you played who are kind of almost play-acting at things a little bit. And again, this gets back to the idea of how they're being perceived. Just from the way Emily enters into Cherry's life, we should say it's from Nico Walker's memoir about an army soldier and the drug addict who's scrambling between his two lives. And I just was really struck by you being able to play, not only play confidence, but also play the way people react to confidence. I'm thinking about the way Emily meets Cherry and just sort of has to make fun of him, but also let him know that she's in front of him too.
Yeah, I felt like that scene, I think we talked about this a bit beforehand, which I love, because I do think that is such an important scene. And it felt like almost like a cat playing with a mouse. It felt like one of those moments where it was like testing each other's boundaries. And Emily was like, I feel like I have the upper hand here because I see the way that you've been looking at me. I know you like me. And now I'm going to play with you and see how you react and see if you're going to be worth my time.
I guess I thought in that instance, too, because there is this kind of bookend, maybe about a third of the way into the movie, where there is a crisis point in their relationship where he's jealous and throwing a fit. She's also, it goes from her toying with him to him perceiving that she's toying with him.
Right.
And it was really interesting to me the way you play those two very different versions, because, again, a lot of the character is basically his perception of the character, but you had to sort of draw, I think, a pretty fine difference between the two of those different appearances.
Yeah. Well, I think the stark change between the two of those is the level of emotion that she feels. In the beginning, I think it's like, you know, when you meet someone new that you have a crush on and you connect with, it's fun and there's the stakes aren't very high yet. And then, oh my God, 2 weeks passes or whatever, all of a sudden you're having serious feelings and it's like, oh crap, it can't be a game anymore. And you hit that place where all of a sudden you have to start to define things. And I think with the character of Emily, she very much so does have a wall up. So I think that's why in that moment she was like, I need to run away and I need to flee this situation, this horrifying reality of having to be vulnerable with another person. And I think that's where that balance lies. Like you see the cracks starting to show in her facade, if you will, in this game that she's playing. And this emotion starts to seep through. And then the fear kind of comes through on top of that emotion. I think that's when it starts to become more layered. And that's when a stronger difference begins to be shown between those two moments.
Yeah, because there's a couple of beats later when we get to see what's really inside of her. And again, how that confidence, to me, gets back to this physical sort of affect that you show, how much of a wall that actually is. And we get to see who and what she is and all those fears. You could have played it a lot faster, but it's almost like these things are coming out and Emily's trying to analyze these feelings as they're happening to her in real time, which I thought was really interesting because yeah. It could have just been this sort of tumult of spilling these things out. Oh, I'm this and I'm that and I'm feeling this. And instead, for you, in terms of the way you played, it's almost like you're doing an inventory or Emily's doing an inventory of all these things that are going on with her at the time they're happening.
I think it was because like she's the type of character who wasn't going to look at those emotions until she absolutely had to. And then, you know, Cherry's forcing her in that moment to look at them. And so it's like the eyes are flickering around and it's like, oh, my God. And then it all starts spilling up. Taking an inventory in that very moment is a perfect way to put it.
We should say it's the treatment. I'm talking to Sarah Bravo, who does a terrific job in the new film by the Russo brothers, Cherry, the adaptation of Nicole Walker's memoir. We should say here, too, that after that point, she's a different person. That I don't want to say facade, because I don't think it was a facade. I think she's somebody who feels what she's feeling at the moment.
Completely.
But that confidence is kind of gone, and she's sort of clinging, not clinging, but actually looking at him more out of need than being in control. Again, because it's also about the sort of dissolution as they fall into their drug addiction. Mm-hmm. It's a really demanding role. And I just wonder if you, in looking at the script, you said, well, she's got to, at this point, she's not the Emily we met anymore. It's almost like there are three acts to the character.
Yeah, completely, which made it so exciting as an actor to play because there was so much to dig your teeth into and there's so many different versions of this same person. But yeah, in that moment, I think this relationship does end up being codependent, quite toxic. Like while the love is very much so a real love, it's not necessarily a healthy love. And I think in that moment, in surrendering herself over to him, she ends up needing him so much. Like she's like, okay, I'm going to step away from my independence and like join you as a human being. And I'm going to put 110% into this. But in that ends up falling into codependency.
As you're talking about these things, I thought of a moment where I guess early on in the film too, when they're just about to consummate the relationship, they're undressing, she lays down and closes her eyes.
Yeah.
To me, that was a really interesting key moment because that's right. When we see how much the confidence is just something that's in the moment and not this thing that's really fully a part of her.
Right. It's been, God, what, like well over a year since we filmed this movie. And I love getting to step back into it and speak about it again, because there are so many little beats that I've just like forgotten about with time. And watching it again.
Gosh, kind really? Of,
I think it's just, you know, when you're in it, I'm in it fully. And that world like doesn't consume me. I've got a healthy boundaries with it. But of course, when you're filming a movie, yeah, that character is so readily available to you. And it's like every single aspect of her is just so familiar to me, like a separate version of myself. And with time, I step away from her a little bit more. And now getting the chance to come back to her and think about all of these little moments, it's somewhat kind of like rocks your world a little bit, my world.
So many of these characters that you played, and we just talked about the last three, are people, again, who made this decision about how they appear. And again, just thinking back to the bone where she basically doesn't even want to throw a shadow.
Right.
And the only time she gets any glee is that moment where she's talking about why she chose vanilla ice cream to expurge because of how much easier that is. Just this pride that Emily kind of takes in herself until these moments where she has to talk about the way she feels. And I think we talked about this before in the way this is constructed. It's almost a role reversal where Cherry is the ingenue and Emily is the more aggressive and confident of the two.
Right. But then that changes at a certain point.
That spirit, that kind of brio that she has in the first third of the movie. And getting the script, I just wonder if you find yourself dissecting and saying the perspective is that of it's kind of an unreliable narrator whose kind of fits and affections for Emily we can see in her, but you also have to bring a kind of emotional truth to that. If you were reading that and going, this is going to be really fun to do because I do get to go from what Cherry perceives Emily to be to who I think she is in the same scene.
Which is really important. Otherwise, it's just like no character is ever going to be three-dimensional because you're viewing things through Cherry's lens. Yeah, it does become a little bit more of a challenge because it's like, how do I make her a three-dimensional human being? And I think that is just giving her emotional depth and giving her feelings that are outside of Cherry's own thoughts and ideas and feelings. And it's like, oh, okay, so she is her own person. And so, yeah, finding those moments within the scenes to really shine light on them so that she is a fully realized human being was extremely important. I think her confidence in the beginning, I always viewed it as almost like, I don't want to say a defense mechanism because I don't think that that's fair or true. I do think that she was a confident human being. And although she wasn't the type of person who connected easily to others and did sort of operate more in an outsider's world and didn't develop deep emotional connections to human beings, other people in her life, like she's still very much so knew who she was and who she wanted to be and where she was going in life. And she had her plan laid out and nothing was going to take her away from that plan. And then she meets Cherry and all of a sudden it's like, oh crap. You sort of get derailed from this idea of what you wanted your life to be because you have to shift who you are as a human being a little bit to allow this other person into your world. And you got to start feeling things that you've been running from for a long time because of her past, which we don't dive into too much, but the brothers and I worked to build a little bit. You know, in that moment in the graveyard when she's talking about her dad and how she caught him cheating on her mom. So it's like, yeah, of course she's not going to have a good idea of what love is or what love could be. Of course she's going to be afraid of being emotionally vulnerable to this person, but she does have this innate strength to her and this drive and this passion. And when she decides to do something, she does it and she gets it done.
I guess it's Sarah Bravo. She's one of the stars of the new film Cherry by the Russo Brothers on Apple TV. We'll talk more about it. It's a treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes. Join Jacqueline Coley as she hosts a brand new podcast, Seen on the Screen. Meet the innovative people at NBC Universal as they share their journeys, inspirations, and the movies that define them. Each episode is an intimate and fun conversation about the impact of film. Seen on the Screen is available now wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Troop. My guest is Sarah Bravo. Her new film as actor is co-starring in the Russo Brothers film Cherry on Apple Plus. You were saying something, and you're talking to the brothers about the groundwork you laid for Emily. And one of the things I was wondering about, too, if you had a chance to talk to them about this, because this is a period piece, and because she is such an independent force when we meet her, if there's some kind of fear entering a relationship in addition to her trust issues, that she will end up being consumed by this and she won't be her own person anymore. And that becomes part of the trepidation too.
When you've decided to take full control of your life and then all of a sudden you allow yourself into this other person. Yeah, I think there's this fear of lack of control all of a sudden. Like that's really what makes having emotions like love so scary, is it not? In my experience, anyway. So I felt that. I recognized that a little bit in Emily, and I was like, okay.
Again, I'm so aware of your vocal presence, and a lot of that must come from the fact that you've done a lot of vocal work as an actor anyway, so you learn how to pitch your voice and make it play in character ways that people without that same kind of experience and training might not be able to do.
Again, I think that that's something that I don't put a ton of thought into. I feel like that comes a lot more naturally after I do more of the other character building work that I do. And then in the process, the voice sort of comes and it feels more natural. I feel like I always focus on body language first, but then I feel lucky that I have that training because I do think it is very helpful in those moments. And I think it allows me to make a character an individual and different from myself, which is always important to me as an actor, because I think that that's one of the most incredible abilities a person can have, is to be almost a chameleon. That's absolutely my goal in my career. And as I move forward in this world, I hope to have the ability to work on different characters and different projects that allow me just like a great diversity on my like resume, if you will, but without... I don't ever want to reach the point where people are like, oh, that's Sierra Bravo. And they're watching Sierra Bravo as so-and-so.
I guess I want to talk to you about that a little bit, because I was thinking about it. We go back to the bone. Tracy's voice is almost up in her throat. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no presence in it. And again, that has become I wonder if that becomes a decision of saying, well, this is somebody who doesn't want to be seen. She's going to try to make her voice kind of almost indistinct too, whereas we look at that great fun turn you do in The Long Dumb Row, she's trying to sound much older than she is and giving weight to the voice. And I mean, when we meet that character, she's in performance mode.
Oh,
I mean,
fully.
We can see her turn and switch. Oh, I'm going to get to throw a performance for these two morons who are standing here who don't know anything. So let me have some fun with this. Because that voice to me sounds like something Tracy decided to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because this is the way she's going to be. And again, when watching Ashley in The Long Dumb Row, we can see the decision that, oh, let me play this to the hilt.
Right.
Because these guys are too silly, too goofy to realize them. Basically, you're standing above them anyway, so it's like they're looking up at you on a stage. You're going to play it like you're on a stage, and you really had fun with that. But also, that character's adolescent self-awareness becomes a really big part of that, too.
I felt like with her, it was almost like, not Lolita-esque, but like Lolita, because I feel like that doesn't do her justice and that's not fair. But someone who's aware of that and wants to play with it and like toy with them and see what can happen in this situation. What I really like about both Tracy and Ashley is that they're characters that are very much so in the story, but they're not the story. And when you see them in these select moments, it's like very clear definers of who they are. I think I like playing characters like that, that aren't in like so much of the story, because it does give you this freedom to really turn them into a character. And I enjoy that. It like making those decisions. Okay, what's her voice like in this moment? How does her body move? How is she going to stand? Does she hold her head up? Is she going to keep her head down and just throw looks here or there? like I said before, I do feel like to an extent that I don't always recognize that I'm making those decisions, but I am making those decisions. And it's so interesting to hear them pointed out to me afterwards. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I did do that. And I think it correlates back to just like you said, seeing how she interacts with the other people in the room and how the other people in the room view her.
Well, going back to that and what we started talking about before and what we talked about when we first met, actually, was this thing that seems to me is central to the way you work. Just these characters, and they all have an awareness of how they're perceived. I'm just really fascinated by that because I'm not saying that any of these people, with exception sometimes with Ashley, are presentational at all in the way that they move in the world. But there is, if we're paying attention, we find ourselves wondering, well, what is Tracy like when she's in her room before she goes downstairs for the group meals or whatever? What is she doing? What is her preparation? Mm-hmm. And we get taken into Ashley's backstage, so we get to see exactly all the stuff that she has in there. But I wondered if that becomes part of this for you too, a conscious thing, because that scene I was talking about where Emily is about to literally and figuratively expose herself to Cherry, we get a chance to see who she is, and when everything is stripped away. And how many of these moments do you have in terms of composing these characters of sort of saying, what are these people like offstage or backstage or away from everybody else but themselves?
My favorite question to ask myself when trying to decide who someone is behind the curtains or who they are, I always think that, like, who are they when they're in their bedrooms alone at night? When they're sitting in bed awake, what are their thoughts? But my favorite question is, what's in their drawers? If you open up their drawers, how do they fold their clothes? What are the clothes look like? What are their special knickknacks? Where do they hide their special knickknacks? Like, why is this knickknack special to them? Those questions that you're never going to see overtly answered on screen, but allow me to develop them more as a human being and get more into, like, the psyche of this individual. I love those moments. I love those moments because I think when you build those layers as an actor off screen, when you're doing your quote unquote homework, if you will, you can throw it away on the day, but it'll still show up and live and exist in really subtle, nice ways. Or if you're working with great writers like I was on Cherry, you'll get to see those moments shown like you do in that scene.
Because you were saying that you like those, being able to sort of come in and have those moments where we get to discover those characters and then they leave and we get to ask questions about them when they're gone, and getting a chance to basically be a part of the entirety of a movie or most of it, as you are in Cherry when you were talking to the Russo brothers. Was that a daunting prospect for you? Because she takes up a lot of time, both literally and figuratively in the material.
Yeah, it was really intimidating. Also, like, there's so much responsibility that comes with playing a role like Emily because of the journey that she goes on. Like, this is not just Emily's story. I mean, I'm sure it's nauseating to hear this because you've heard us say it a million times over this press tour, but this is the story of millions and millions of people worldwide. So, of course, I find that very, very intimidating because I want to do her justice and make sure that we're seeing her journey as a full journey and that it makes sense and that it tracks and that she's a full person so that it doesn't feel this experiences that she's going on from, you know, trying to love someone through something as horrific and severe as PTSD to falling into drug addiction and battling drug addiction. Like, I wanted to make sure we weren't trivializing that experience or glamorizing it in any way, turning it into like this Hollywood version of what is a truly dark and scary reality to some people. So I think in that moment, coming on to set, of course I was intimidated. Of course I was intimidated. Just, I'm not someone who loves attention. I like, it really makes me uncomfortable a lot of times. I think that...
I'm sorry, what profession are you in again here?
I know. I'm rolling my eyes as I say it because it's like, I'm an actor. I'm like, oh, I hate attention. Look at me. But I think I almost use it as an opportunity to step outside of myself and like cover up with another person. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in an hour and a half of this two and a half hour movie. I was like, this is so scary. I hate this, but I love it at the same time. And I was just so exhilarated and like honored by the opportunity and the fact that they thought I was capable enough as an actor to bring a character like Emily to life. I mean, it's absolutely something that I battled with constantly, which is why I sat down with my acting coach and I was like, help me. And so we did like a nice session together and he was like, you have this, you can do this. You just need to trust yourself and quit. Don't use me as a crutch. I was like, oh, got it. Coming back to where we started about playing a character that's in so much of this movie, I was excited. I did feel like this was a step in my career, not to discredit any of the work that I'd done before, because I've been on projects that I love so deeply and I'm really proud of. And work that I was very much so like a main character in. But this was the first movie where I got to really be an important, fully realized character.
These projects we're talking about between Cherry and To the Bone and The Long Dumb Road are movies that are written by women. And I wonder if that's made any difference, because certainly having two women do the adaptation of Cherry definitely brings another perspective to it. And you worked with writer directors on the other projects too. So you could talk about that experience a little bit, because that's got to mean something too.
I noticed a very big difference between when a man writes a woman and when a woman writes a woman, because obviously, there's just insight that you don't have if you haven't been through these experiences yourself. And I feel like in Cherry in particular, I think it's such an important perspective to have. You know, reading the book by Nico, I love it. I think it's a great book. I think it's an incredible character study. He is a misogynist. So I think it's important to have a woman take that story and convert it into a film, because you're able to balance your perspective a bit more and tell a more well-rounded story while still keeping it a character study and allowing these female characters to be more human beings and less, I don't know. In the book, they felt very throwaway. And, you know, that's not to say that I don't connect to women and men's writing. I do. I just think it's oftentimes a different version of men. I think someone who did it really, really, really well for a project that I worked on called Wayne, Sean Simmons. He's got, I don't know, he writes women very, very, very well. But I have worked on a lot of projects written by women. Maybe it's something that I unintentionally gravitate towards. I always like working with women in this industry.
Well, in the case of Wayne, these projects that sort of take on this kind of, they start one way and turn into something else. And there's always this kind of, this sort of dark humor aspect to these things too, isn't there?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing in the whole entire world. I love dark humor because I think it feels the most akin to real life. I love characters that are going through something, this emotional turmoil, and watching them have to find a way to laugh, or giving the audience permission to laugh in these small beats and small moments. Because it's like, yeah, like that's what life is. You find these moments in the darkest of times to laugh so that you don't drown in them. They don't consume you completely. So I'm a sucker for a well-written dark comedy.
Well, we can talk about that more when you come back. And please come back. It's a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. This means the world. Like I've mentioned to you before, I'm a huge fan of your work. I love to listen to you speak. So to sit here and talk with you has been a really exciting experience.
My guest, who is way too kind, is Sierra Bravo. Her new project as actor is the adaptation of Cherry, directed by the Russo brothers. Our recording engineer is Paul Smith. He's also part of our production team, which includes Desmond Taylor and Kat Yore. The show is produced and edited by Rebecca Mooney. To better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. This is The Treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com. or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.